Hey fellas, I need to know what you want to know next, because part 3 here pretty much finishes up the base logic of the application gets things go. Part 3 of creating our Flash ActionScript 3 view, scroll, and click MP3 playlist player. Let's take a look at where we are project here. Where is it? There it is. So in the project, we've completed part 1 and part 2, and we're going to move on to part 3 here. So let's copy this folder. Copy and paste. Let's rename it part 3. Part 3. Double click inside of it. Let's open that Flash file. We'll save as part 3. Okay, we're ready to roll. So in that folder, part 3, we have our XML. Well, we can get rid of part 2 here. Let's get rid of that one. And we don't need that either. Okay, so what we left off with was in part 2, this, where we had our list populated with the actual songs that are on server, but it's just not playing yet, and that's what we're going to cover in part 3 here. So now in part 3 folder, we're in this Flash file here, that's part 3, and all we have to do is talk about the timeline a little bit. What we're going to do is click or highlight frame 2 and press F6, create a new keyframe, blank keyframe. Frame 3, we're going to do the same thing, create a new keyframe. Now on frame 2, let's highlight that and press F9 or go to Window, Actions, and let's type in this code. Now above the code, I put a little comment that says, this is where and when the song switching takes place when a list cell is clicked. So within your list component, when any cell is clicked, actually let's extend these out now. Press F5 on the list layer on frame 3. That'll extend it out to live in all three frames. It will be in existence in all three of those frames, that way any part of the code that needs to talk to that list, it won't have any problem finding it. Now, so let's look at this code. This is the song URL variable that we established in frame 1, which the application really will never go to frame 1 again. This is how it works. When the application enters, it automatically hits frame 1 and establishes all these things that we discussed in part 1 and 2. Once the XML is loaded, we're giving it a command to go to and stop 3 in this timeline. So it's going to go to and really pass right over 2 and not read it and go to frame 3 and stop. It's going to start playing song 1, the one we established to be first song, remember? So that's what happens. And then it never goes back to frame 1 again. When a new item is clicked to play, it snaps to frame 2 and then goes to frame 3 again. So it's kind of just going to keep snapping between frame 2 and 3 when people click on things or when a song ends or whatever. So on frame 2, we're establishing that song URL to be a switching variable of track to play. So the track to play is established on click of the list items. And let's put that code in now and explain that really fast. It's just a few lines, not much at all. So on frame 3, we're going to highlight that and go into the actions panel there. So we're done with frame 2. That's it. It's a one-liner. It looks into the MP3 files folder, and it has which track to play established right there, dynamically.mp3. So that's the new song URL that the player is going to be set to play when it snaps to frame 3 here. And here's the code. Okay, this is the code that pretty much will make the application operate at a base level. So it will have the song, it'll start playing song 1 by default, and it will switch the songs to play and play those new songs when any item in the list is clicked. So let's explain the code very quickly. First, we stop the application from looping, so we stop on frame 3 every time, because this is where the song actually plays. It only snaps back to frame 2 to switch the song variable that is set to play. Then it goes to frame 3 again very quickly and plays that song. So frame 3 is really where the application lives most of the time, where the timeline marker will be most of the time during when people are listening or using the player online. So the first thing we do is stop. Then we set a variable for the sound object, and we set another variable for the channel attached to that sound object. And I learned my sound programming techniques from the Flash help file in CS3. You know, you just type in sound programming, and there's a whole bunch of tutorials. Video jukebox, podcast player. This podcast player is where I learned most of my stuff for sound programming in ActionScript 3. So what I did was set the sound object, I set the channel for the sound object, and then I set the context, a variable called context, which is the sound loader context object for this sound object. And what's going to happen is it's set to a buffer of 5 seconds to each song that's loading in. So it'll be a 5 second buffer. You can change that to 10,000 if you want a 10 second buffer. And actually it's not even a very necessary feature, but it's good to have a buffer. So here on line 5, we set the sound to load, and we add as parameters or arguments to that load is song URL, which is going to be a constant changing dynamic variable, and the context, which is the 5 second buffer. Which context, like I said, is not necessary feature, but it's nice to have. Now on line 6, we set the channel to actually play now. So the sound is loaded here. Now we can set the channel to play. So we set play, pause position. Now right here is where it actually starts playing. So the pause position is made in case we want to add a pause button to the application, which most MP3 players have a pause button. So that's, we'll probably be adding that in, I'm not sure, but we're going to set that there just in case. And the pause position variable was established on frame 1, remember, right here? Pause position, number type variable, set to 0. We're going to be using that. But at the base level of this application, it really doesn't even need it, because there is no pause button yet. Now on line 8, here is where we setting the playlist item click listener. So this list component has an instance name of list. So we just say list.addEventListener. It's event, and it's the change event for the list component. And the function that's going to fire off is called item click. And here it is, 10 through 15 there. There's 4 lines inside of it. 4 things that happen when item click function runs. Let's explain those now. Okay, the first line is we set the channel, which controls the sound object, to stop. Then we set in the status text field, actually we have to say, no, label is correct for that. Yep, so in the status text field we're putting now playing, a string of now playing, the event dot target, which is the list component, selected item. So you can pretty much just type list right there if you wanted, but you say list dot selected item dot label, and that's what's going to show inside of the now playing. And I might have to change that to song string. And then the next line is track to play. This one is very important because this is switches. This helps the switching that happens on frame 2. See right here, track to play. Right here, it knows what track to play by what cell is clicked inside of the list component. So we say event.target, which is equal to the list, remember? List.selectedItem.songString. And where did we get that song string from? The XML file, that's right. Remember on frame 1? Right here. We add song string into the list item through the add item function. Remember we had the label there? Song string is sitting right here and has a value of the song title. So the player will know exactly which song we want to play when we click on that cell in the list. Finally, the last line is go to and play to. So we switch the variable track to play, snap to frame to. What that does is it switches this URL request variable, and then that snaps back to frame 3 very quickly and starts that song to play with the song URL variable reset. It's very simple. Now I've explained every line of this pretty in depth, and you should have no problem understanding exactly what's going on.